We have the opportunity this morning to honor fathers. It's Father's Day, as you know. Are there any fathers in the house? Raise your hand if you're a father. There's a few of us left. They're here. They're in the midst. We're glad for all fathers. In fact, in honor of all fathers, I want to show the video first before the message, Brent in the back, so we're aware in just a moment. I have a video from the Skit Guys. Steve, you know the Skit Guys. They are a great duo who've actually produced this video, and I want to do this skit in honor of all the super dads out there. There's some super dads, and of course, these guys have a great time producing these videos now, and some of us get a chance to see them, so I wanted you to see it. It'll lead in today's message, which the message is on carry one another. How have our fathers carried us? Carry each other's burdens. Some of us learned it under the old RSV or New King James version. It was bear one another. Remember those words? Bear one. Some of us don't remember. It's in this service. Everybody in this first service, they all knew. But this service, not as many. Bear one another. Well, that word doesn't, we don't use that word anymore. And so here in the NIV, the New International Version, we see something there about how life is carried. And this video will tie in all of the ways in which God is working through fathers. So let's go ahead and put it on and have a good time with that. Just a moment.
Hello, you ready to be taken down?
Do you have a favorite superhero?
Yep, he's the best.
Nuh-uh, my superhero's the best.
What can your superhero do?
My superhero isn't afraid of anything.
Superhero helps people whenever they need it. He even helps cats.
Help! My cat is stuck in the tree!
Come to ruin the day, nothing is impossible for my superhero to defeat.
Wants to teach me to be a superhero just like him.
You are an expert in God's law. What does God say? Love God with all of your heart and your neighbor as yourself. You're right. Do that and you'll have eternal life.
Unlike some superheroes, mine knows where his powers come from.
Hey, Dad!
My favorite superhero isn't Superman or Batman or Wolverine or Iron Man.
My favorite superhero is better than all of those combined.
My favorite superhero is my dad.
Mine too.
Heads up!
a water balloon fight.
Somebody help!
You never heard of Super Dads, have you? But our friends, the Skit Guys, have, and they did a great job, I think, reminding us of the promise that we look for in God's Word. Our friend Archimedes discovered why rocks sink and ships float. Actually, the story is that he was a ancient one who discovered it. The story goes, and I don't know if it's true or not, but when he jumped into a bathtub, that's why you always see pictures of him in a bathtub, is when he figured out that the laws of buoyancy and gravity. It was real simple. You know, haven't you wondered when you were maybe on a giant cruise ship or just looked at container ships, go, how did they take metal and make something so large float? Because we know if it was all crumpled together and made it into a ball, you throw that in the water, it goes right to the bottom. It's called a submarine. No, I'm just kidding. But you know, things sink on purpose if it's heavy. But, you know, it's interesting, I think, and Andy Stanley makes this point clear in his writing. He says that there's a reason for everything, and we know that he just discovered that. It was already there. It was true. There were ships before he was around, but he discovered it and came up with, as a mathematician, he discovered things. And, you know, we continue to discover truths, and we see it clearly in God's Word. And I wanted you to think about that this morning. In fact, if you have your message outline, you have to turn it on the back because it won't be on the screen, but I want you to turn with me. On the back side, there's a scripture that has a truth in it that reminds us of what truth God is wanting us to see. In the New Living Translation, we see this in Galatians chapter 6. He says these words, and of course, Paul's writing to a province of Galatia, which is right there at the northern part of Turkey. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you're too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You're not that important. Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. That last phrase is really the context for what I wanted to speak to you this morning about. Carry each other's burdens, share each other's burdens, bear one another's burdens. They're all point back to the same thing. There's something happening. And faith grows love. Faith has always grown love. As I have looked at the 58 different one another's in the New Testament, and in this series I haven't used them all, I've kept a few back just to hold on to remind you that there's a few left. But each one is based on this simple fact right here. What is the law of Christ? Because that's what the apostle says in Galatians. So now I'm giving you a new commandment, Jesus said. Love each other. There's that another, right? Just as I've loved you, and you should love each other for your love. And here's the test. If you want to call it a litmus test, you call it whatever you want. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Faith grows love. There's no other way to put it. Faith is an action word. It means that we actually apply it. You know, this morning, you walked into the sanctuary, and there's a picture, there's a sign outside. It's actually our theme for the year. Last November, we launched that theme as a part of our message for 2018. Faith grows here. Where does it grow? It grows right in our hearts. We take it. You bypass that. You probably didn't even notice it. I mean, if you, some of you did, come up and talk to me afterwards. I want to talk to you. You're very aware of what you see. That's good. I'm going to put you in charge of something else. No, if you're just kidding. Faith grows here. And that message tells us something simple, that when we are alone, that and the 12 were alone, Jesus was very aware of what the disciples were thinking. Last week, you heard me speak to the fact, actually 2 weeks ago, and I'm reinforcing it over these last couple of weeks. Jesus was teaching two groups of people at the same time. That's why he used parables. We see it right here in Mark 4. He said, when he was alone, the 12 and others around him, there were other followers besides the 12, they asked Jesus, him, about parables. And then Jesus said, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables. In other words, he's speaking to two different groups. Those on the inside, the disciples, those he said to those who are following him, he said, come follow me. They're following along. But do you know, I love the honesty of Mark here. Mark is just saying, you know, the disciples didn't get it while they were there. They didn't understand what was happening. They're just being honest. We don't know. We don't get it. But then Jesus said, but look, even those on the outside don't get it. And then he says this, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. In other words, he's saying, I want to keep telling these stories because that's what's bringing people to us. Just as we see in Paul's writing to the church at Galatia, those that come along the path. Go back and look at that passage. He said, those that are along the path. There are things that happen along the way, aren't there? There's things that push aside God's word. It is planted, but it's not always in the right soil. Now, our Super Dad video kind of reinforced that point. We sometimes don't think of our dads as superheroes, but they really are in the context of the popularity of that today. Have you noticed how popular it is? Superheroes are pretty cool. I think they are. I even watch those movies. I honestly admit it. My wife won't watch with me. It's okay. My son will watch with me. But isn't that interesting how some of us can relate to that, others not? But here's what my point is. These super dads, so to speak, were just regular people. They did a great job of that. In one element, they're super dads. On the other hand, they're just everyday people doing what? Taking time. My son's a little bit older now, but I'm glad that I took the time. And let me just say, if you're a dad right now and you're having to do something you didn't want to do, I mean, I remember sitting at Little League meetings. Oh, my goodness. I mean, Boy Scout me. I mean, sometimes just going, I can't believe I've got to be doing this. But we do it. Why do we invest that time? Why? I tell you why. Very simply, we have a message to share. And being there. Did you see that part of the video where the dad was sitting next to the daughter? What did she get on the test? Did you see it? Could you see it from where you're sitting? Yeah, she got what everybody doesn't want to get. But it happens. Life happens, right? We all get them at one point or another. If we haven't, we've protected our kids too much, because the reality of life is we're going to get one of those, right? F, it's going to come. But the dad was sitting there. And guess what the dad did? You saw what happened in the video, didn't you? Crunched it right up. Our Heavenly Father does the same thing. He's there for us. And Jesus is actually thinking about this. And I want you to think about this as we continue through this message. We see something. We will see this truth. We reap what you sow. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Whatever effort we put in, we will get back. And the truth is, we may not see it now. My son's actually 26 now, so actually I'm getting smarter. Did you know that you can get smart? I didn't know. My son sees me in a different way. It's amazing. He did not see me this way when he was a teenager. He didn't think I was very smart. I was told a few times, you're not very smart, Dad. He said the other words too, but it's amazing. You know, we're not too smart sometimes. That's true. We're learning along the way. But you know, we if we put in the time, it will come back. And that's the truth. Notice what Paul says here. He says, pay careful attention to your own work, for they will get satisfaction of a job well done. And you won't need, here's the great message of God's word. We don't need to play the comparison game. Have you noticed how people play the comparison game in this life? But followers of Jesus really are not supposed to do that. We're supposed to do these other things, carry one another, forgive one another, accept one another. We'll see it come about. We won't need to compare ourselves because why? Verse 5, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. I am so grateful for the opportunity to listen to my friends in recovery because they get this one better than anybody else that I listen to. They'll tell me, well, I'm responsible for me, nobody else. I've got to start right there, right here, whatever it is. It's kind of like we put it inside. I remember my Christian therapist that I went to for a number of years as I was working through some things, and he reminded me often, he goes, you're the only one inside your skin. I'm like, what? What are they talking about? He said, your skin holds all of you in. Okay, yeah, I get that. And everything inside you is all about what you need to take care of. That's the sphere of influence that you have. And you're the only one responsible for your own conduct. Whatever else is going on the outside, whatever arrows are being fired at you, right, are coming at us, who's responsible for that? Well, it's the world that we live in. They're shooting those arrows. They're going to come at us no matter what. The question is, how do I respond to it? I'm the only one that can be responsible for that. And that really is what is the promise of his word. We go on to verse 7. We see these words. And anybody else like strawberries that come from the local ones better than the ones in the store? I mean, we don't buy them anymore. But there, we help the small businessmen, right? But those strawberries are good. Why? Because someone planted seeds in good soil, didn't they? They probably had somebody else help them along the way. I grew up in a family that was very much agrarian. My father worked in farm management for 35 years and retired. And I can't tell you the number of times I had to listen to stories from my dad about how important farmers are. So some of you have been spared that. You didn't get that. I got it. But I'm so grateful I got that because you know what happened as I began to look at this story, even this week, and I think about my dad, my relationship with him, and I was thinking, you know, things have shifted almost 100% in America. Today, less than 3% of the American population have any hands-on work in agrarian things. But in Jesus' day, 97% of people had hands-on experience with agrarian things. That's why Jesus' stories about the sower and all of these, that's why they're so relatable. That's why he told the stories, because everybody understood what a farmer was supposed to do. But today, we don't always get that. You will always harvest what you plant. That is a truth. You cannot run away from that. It's just the truth. It's sort of like the fellow who jumped into the bathtub. And then he discovered that, oh my goodness, I figured it out. And of course, now we have all these theorems and things that we take math for, and we try to explain to our kids why we're so important to know them. But you know, I think as we slow down and we look at it, we see the truth of why this matters. You will always harvest what you plant. Whatever you put your efforts into will be the other part of that, because there's benefits, the benefits of obedience. We see it in this parable, this agrarian parable, like seeds sown on good soil. They hear the word, and notice the words, accept it. Once you've planted it in good soil, it will produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100. Whatever has been sown, whatever has been thrown out, it's amazing. The return is coming to those who are obedient. Those who hang in there, those who don't give up, you will reap what you sow. That's a very easy. I found that. I just had to put the Google button, and I found that. You can find that true. It's a truth. Whatever small seed you plant, you will reap what you sow. It is a truth that we know. And it is also true in our lives as we trust God. In this series, we've talked about some of the hard things. In fact, I'm impressed that you keep coming back. These one another's have really challenged us. For those that find it hard to forgive, Jesus said, forgive one another. We also learned about what it means to accept one another. Do you see how all these one another's come back to one thing, the law of Christ? Love one another. Didn't have to preach on love one another because all of these are incorporated in it. Care for one another. Jim preached on this important part, encourage one another. We have that opportunity. Submit to one another, the calling of following Jesus. Instruct one another, carry one another. All of them point in the same direction. They call us to love one another. And it's not an easy thing to do. We can't, in fact, do it in our own power. And we have this other element here, element of why did Jesus teach parables? He taught parables for one reason, and that was to communicate his genuine love for the people. The writer of the book of Hebrews explains it this way. He said, even though Jesus was God's son, notice the words here that were translated right here. He learned obedience from the things that he suffered. Jesus, and for some people, this is a hard thing. But Jesus learned because he did not know it. He put himself in a human being's form. This is an incredible thing. And he basically went through anything that we've gone through, he went through. And he learned obedience from the things he suffered. People rejected him out of heart, even though he was perfect in every way. Because he was God in the flesh. We believe that. And it's one of the benefits of his obedience. And in this way, God qualified him. Now notice, Jesus is qualified as the perfect high priest and became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him. You see, the benefit of following Jesus, having a relationship with Jesus, of accepting him, we have the benefit of the fact that Jesus, now he suffered everything that we went through. He knows it. He knows those things. And he wants us to have that relationship. And what happens is this. We have the potential to be able to effectively apply the one another's. In fact, I would venture to say that it is absolutely impossible to complete these in our own power. We cannot do that. It sounds really good. But without Jesus at the core center, we can't do it. Or without a relationship with God, we can't apply these. Can you really forgive someone without Jesus and the power of his forgiveness coming into us? Those of us that understand the depth of that, if we have a relationship with Jesus, we know we cannot forgive unless we have the power of Jesus working in us. We can't accept one another without understanding that it is Jesus who suffered for us so that we could learn what it means to accept one another and to take it even a step further by saying, I can't do care. I can't really respond without that relationship. I can't encourage another person. I can't really submit without the power of Jesus working inside me. In other words, he is the source of my ability to share that. That's great news. And when we apply it, we go back to that verse in John. John probably focuses more than anyone else. If you were to just put it into a Bible software program or even just go to Bible Gateway and you push love one another, you'll see it come up more often than anything else. Love one another. The Apostle John said it over and over again. Love one another. And so fulfill the law of Christ. We do that not in our own power. Not in our own power, but in the power of Christ that is working within us. It's the great news. Jesus came for a purpose. He suffered for none other than us. Because he loved us so much. God sent his only son for us. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power and presence of your word that lives on. In spite of all of the challenges that we face, we know we can't do it in our own power. And Lord, we thank you that Jesus himself learned obedience and we receive the benefits of applying God's principles. That whatever we're willing to plant, whatever seeds of faith that we plant, we know will come back to us and we'll be able to harvest them and have the truth of knowing that you love us and you call us to love and effectively carry one another, to accept one another, to forgive one another, to encourage one another, to know that all those one another's are nothing that we can do in our own power, but your power, you go and help us and meet us and guide us along that path. Lord, thank you for the promises of your word. And when we trust in your promises, you will return back that harvest that is so rich. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've given us. And we give you glory, honor, and praise. In the name that's above every name, in Jesus' name we pray.